Hey, Mason. It's Thursday, July 9th, 2026, and we've got a packed one for you today.
Packed how? Give me the shape of it.
Two parts. First, a quick radar briefing on the newest research we've kept from the pile, the stuff that actually cleared the bar this week.
And then?
Then we zoom out for the week in review. What shipped? What stalled? What's worth watching going into next week?
I like starting with radar. Keeps us honest before we start patting ourselves on the back in the review.
Exactly the order for a reason. Let's get into what landed on the radar. The radar this week clusters into two piles, retrieval and evaluation on one side, low resource language transfer on the other. Both piles matter for the Lakota pipeline.
Start with retrieval, since that's the most direct hit. There's a public health paper doing a systematic evaluation of retrieval augmented generation setups, comparing retrieval quality against faithfulness of the final answer.
Right, and that's basically the same question Simon Chat has to answer for itself. Is the model actually grounded in the community-approved books, or is it drifting back to whatever the base model memorized?
The public health domain is a decent stand-in, too. High-stakes answers, sparse trustworthy sources, and a real cost if the system sounds confident while being wrong. Worth reading for the evaluation methodology alone, even if none of their sources map to Lakota material.
Second pile, there's a paper on Indic AI reframed through cultural heritage preservation rather than pure benchmark performance.
That reframing is the interesting part. Most low-resource language papers ask, can the model do the task? This one asks who gets to decide what the task even is and who holds the data.
Which is close to the whole premise of community-governed data that the listener's been building around. Different language family, same governance problem, linguistic diversity plus cultural preservation plus who controls the corpus.
Worth a skim for the framing, not for technique. It won't hand over a pipeline, but it might sharpen the argument for why sovereignty has to be a design constraint and not an afterthought.
Then there's a study on reasoning and uncertainty across multiple languages in multiple choice question answering. The finding, reasoning done in English then applied to a low-resource language question, improves accuracy in that language.
That's actually useful and a little uncomfortable. Useful because it suggests you can borrow English language reasoning chains as scaffolding for a language with almost no training data. Uncomfortable because it's yet another case where the underserved language rides on the coattails of the resource-rich one instead of standing on its own evidence.
Worth testing directly against the evaluation harness, see if that pattern holds for Lakota question answering, or falls apart.
Last cluster is smaller transfer papers. One on cross-lingual transfer for speech recognition, moving from Sinhala to Divehi. One extending math reasoning evaluation into underrepresented languages. One on translating Mongolian in its traditional script, where the same language has two writing systems and that mismatch causes real translation errors.
The Mongolian one is the sleeper pick here. Digraphic ambiguity, a traditional script alongside a modern one, is structurally close to the orthography inconsistencies you get in older Lakota texts before standardized spelling.
Agreed, that's the one worth reading closely rather than skimming. The speech recognition transfer paper is fine but fairly narrow, and the math reasoning paper is more about benchmark construction than method.
So ranked, the retrieval augmented generation evaluation paper and the Mongolian script paper are the two to actually read this week. The Indic framing paper is worth 10 minutes for the argument. The uncertainty paper is worth checking against the evaluation harness. The speech transfer paper can wait.
No red flags, no papers claiming they solved low-resource language modeling in general. Just useful, narrow pieces. That's a fine week for the radar.
Stepping back from the individual papers, this week's radar actually splits cleanly into two piles. And Mason, both piles talk to the two halves of what you're building.
The retrieval augmented generation pile and the low resource language pile.
Exactly, and they're almost evenly split, call it 7 or 8 papers on retrieval augmented generation, or RAG, trustworthiness, and another 8 or 9 on data and models for specific under-resourced languages.
Let's take the RAG pile first, since we already covered one of them. Trustworthy retrieval instrumentation and graph evaluation, as paper of the day. Where does everything else sit relative to that one?
That paper was about stage-aware instrumentation, catching exactly where in a retrieval pipeline a failure happens, not just that the final answer was wrong. This week's other RAG papers all fill in pieces around that same idea.
Give me the shape of it.
So you've got a defense paper, called Mirage, built specifically to keep long-form RAG systems from getting fooled by misinformation planted in the retrieval corpus. Then a hallucination detector called GASP, which perturbs the retrieved context slightly and watches whether the generated answer's grounding holds steady or wobbles.
Wobbles under perturbation, meaning it's not actually anchored to the source text.
Right, it's a sensitivity test rather than a static classifier. Then there's a paper on candidate-constrained retrieval for a benchmark called Long Eval RAG, which forces the system to cite from a constrained candidate pool and evaluates whether the citations actually hold up.
So three different ways of asking the same question: is the model actually using what it retrieved, or just producing something plausible sounding near it?
And a fourth angle, the public health question answering paper, which isn't proposing a new defense, it's a systematic sweep across RAG configurations, chunk size, retriever choice, re-ranking, measuring faithfulness across all of them empirically, rather than assuming one setup is best.
That one's probably the most directly useful to Mason, honestly. It's not clever, it's just rigorous measurement across a big configuration grid, which is exactly the kind of per-stage evaluation work Simon Chat needs before you'd trust a Lakota answer.
Agreed, and it pairs well with the fifth one, teacher-regularized reinforcement learning for cross-lingual RAG, where a bigger model in English reasons over the evidence, and a smaller model in the target language gets rewarded for staying faithful to that reasoning rather than drifting.
Okay, that one I want to flag, because it's basically saying, let a high-resource language do the reasoning and constrain the low-resource output to match it. That's efficient. It's also exactly the kind of dependency your other pile of papers is nervous about.
Good catch, hold that thought, because it's the tension running under the whole week. Let's finish the RAG side first. Put those five together and you get a genuine toolkit. Contamination defense, perturbation-based hallucination detection, citation-constrained generation, systematic faithfulness measurement, and now a cross-lingual grounding mechanism.
That's essentially a checklist for the RAG agent evaluation harness, stage instrumentation from the paper of the day, plus a faithfulness metric, plus a perturbation sensitivity test, plus a misinformation defense layer if the corpus ever grows past strictly vetted texts.
Which for a system grounded only in community-approved books is maybe less urgent right now. The corpus can't get poisoned by outside content if outside content never gets in, but the perturbation and stage instrumentation ideas transfer directly, regardless of corpus size.
Fair. Now, the tension.
Right. So the second pile, the low-resource language papers, there were 9 of them this week, covering Sinhala to Devehi speech recognition transfer, Mongolian in its traditional script, Bangla form documents, Sinhala sentiment analysis, Afik text-to-speech, Luxembourgish spoken question answering, dialect identification paired with speech recognition in Indian languages, mathematical reasoning evaluation across underrepresented languages, and a study on multilingual reasoning and uncertainty.
That's a lot of very narrow single language efforts landing in one week.
It is, and the pattern across almost all of them is the same recipe. Take a method or a model trained mostly on high-resource languages, transfer it into the low-resource target with some combination of cross-lingual fine-tuning, synthetic data augmentation, and a small manually annotated benchmark to check it actually worked.
The Sinhala to Devehi paper is the cleanest example, literally using a related, better-resourced language as the bridge.
And the Luxembourgish spoken question answering paper does the same trick with synthetic speech, generating training audio through text-to-speech rather than collecting it, because collecting it is expensive and the speaker pool is small.
Which is the same trade-off your EFIC text-to-speech paper is making, just from the output side instead of the input side.
Exactly, and then the uncertainty and reasoning study ties a bow on the whole cluster. Its finding was that having a model reason in English first and only translate the final answer measurably improves multiple choice accuracy in low resource target languages compared to reasoning natively in the target language.
Which is the language version of the RAG paper's trick. Let the high-resource side carry the cognitive load, keep the low-resource side as an output layer.
Right, and here's where I think it's worth being honest with Mason instead of just cataloging papers. That's a real, replicable performance gain. It's also, structurally, the exact thing that a cultural heritage and sovereignty framing pushes back on.
Meaning if Lakota output is just an English model's reasoning wearing a translation, the sovereignty argument that the community's own linguistic and conceptual structures should shape how the system reasons, not just how it phrases, starts to erode.
Which is what rethinking Indic AI, which we already covered this week, was getting at from the cultural preservation side. It's not that cross-lingual transfer is bad engineering. It clearly works. The numbers this week back that up repeatedly. It's that works and sovereign are measuring different things, and this week's radar mostly measured the first one.
So the practical read for Mason, cross-lingual transfer, and English-mediated reasoning are legitimate tools to reach for when data is thin, but they're not neutral defaults. Each time one gets used in the Lakota pipeline, it's worth being explicit about what's being borrowed from English structure versus what's staying native to the source texts.
Which is exactly what per-stage evaluation is for. You can actually measure that borrowing instead of just having an opinion about it. Which loops back to the OCR pile, the third theme this week, and probably the one closest to home.
We covered medieval Latin manuscripts as paper of the day already, so give me the short version and how the other two connect.
The short version was simpler translation pipelines beat more complex ones on medieval manuscript text, which was a useful, slightly humbling result. This week also had a Bangla document understanding benchmark, called BAFGO, focused specifically on complex form layouts, and a new lightweight optical character recognition model, Hunyuan OCR-1.5, aimed at ancient scripts and low-resource multilingual documents.
Does Hunyuan OCR back up the Latin paper's simpler is better finding, or fight it?
Mostly backs it up. The whole pitch is making a lighter model perform better through smarter training data construction rather than raw scale. It builds its ancient script capability through an agentic pipeline that generates its own training data rather than relying on massive labeled corpora.
Which is relevant because legacy Lakota texts are exactly the kind of low-resource, layout-inconsistent, degraded scan material these benchmarks are trying to stress test for.
Right, and Bothko's contribution is specifically about complex layouts, not clean printed pages, tables, forms, mixed structure. If legacy Lakota material includes anything beyond straightforward printed prose, marginalia, tabular vocabulary lists, mixed script pages, that's the harder regime these benchmarks are starting to characterize.
So pulling the whole week together, three piles, and they're not independent. The RAG pile is building the evaluation muscle Simon Chat needs. The OCR pile is validating that lightweight, carefully constructed pipelines can outperform brute scale on exactly the kind of degraded, low-resource documents legacy Lakota texts will be. And the language pile is a reminder that the efficient path, lean on a high-resource language to carry the reasoning, is also the path most in tension with sovereignty.
And underneath all three, there's LakotaBERT, which we also covered this week. That's the proof that this isn't abstract for Lakota specifically anymore. There's already a transformer model built for it, and it sits at the exact intersection of the low-resource modeling pile and the sovereignty question we just raised.
So what actually carries forward into next week?
Two concrete things. One, the RAG toolkit stage instrumentation, faithfulness measurement, perturbation-based grounding checks, is mature enough this week that it's worth treating as a checklist against whatever evaluation harness exists right now, not just filed away as reading.
Two,
anytime a cross-lingual or English-mediated technique gets adopted for efficiency, it's worth writing down explicitly what's being borrowed so the sovereignty trade-off stays visible instead of just accumulating quietly.
And keep an eye on the OCR side. If Hunyuan OCR Jdaobao R1.5 or the Bangla layout benchmarks methods turn out to be reproducible, they're a more direct match for legacy Lakota scans than most of what's floated past the radar in recent weeks.
A busy week, but a coherent one. Three piles, one underlying question about who does the reasoning and who ends up owning the output. So that's the shape of this week's radar, public health question answering leaning harder on retrieval, and a whole cluster of papers asking who actually gets served by these models once you leave the handful of dominant languages.
Right, from cultural heritage work in Indic languages to speech recognition transfer between Sinhala and Divehi, to math and document benchmarks built for languages that usually get skipped, the pattern's consistent.
Consistent and, honestly, encouraging. That's the briefing for today, Mason. Talk soon.